How often have you wished you could be a kid again? No worries, no stress, no problems. Well, the life of young people today isn't really the calm lake you might be thinking about, at least in all cases. An increasing number of youths are dealing with mental health problems and challenges. These findings are presented in the report, the 2022 Kids Count Data Book, State Trends in Child Well-Being. It's from the Annie Casey Foundation. With us now to look at the findings of this report regarding New Jersey youths and mental health is the Chief Operating Officer of Baker Street Behavioral Health, Dr. Adeola Shinaki. How are you today, Doctor?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
A couple of websites for you to reference. We do have the links at our page as well for the Baker Street Behavioral Health. That's bakerstreetpsych.com. We've linked directly to this report, the 2022 Kids Count Data Book from the Annie Casey Foundation. Their website, by the way, is aecf.org. Just as a starting point, Doctor, if you look at the findings, and they put this up front for, I think, the obvious reason, it really tells a frightening yet call-to-action piece of information. Percentage of children, this is classified as ages 3 to 17, who had anxiety or depression. Overall in the U.S., comparing the numbers from 2016 to 2020, 9.4%. to 11.8%. If you look at New Jersey, that, by the way, is an increase of 25.5% nationally. You look at New Jersey, 7.6% to 10.7% over that period, same period of time. That's an increase of 40.8%. That is a frightening growth. That's not a growth we want for our children, is it?
No, it's not. And it's about nearly 168,000 children in New Jersey that we're talking about here.
People think, too, I even am guilty of this, too. My mother said to me, well, I won't say names, obviously, but my son had a bad day, and he was anxious over something. I'm thinking, what's a 16-year-old have to be anxious about? Well, we don't understand how kids' minds are more susceptible to less pressure versus what we as adults can, in most cases, endure.
Absolutely. And, you know, a common misconception that people tend to have when it comes to an individual expressing any form of anxiety, depression, stress, is that we assume that we're aware of what the source of that is. When we're looking at children in particular, there's something that we like to call adverse childhood experiences. And this can be any form of trauma that child has experienced since birth to the age of 18, that causes them to have an increased risk of developing certain mental health conditions, you know, as children or even as adults. And when we look at these adverse childhood experiences, they can be things such as being unable to access food or, you know, having an inability to access health care. It could be COVID. You know, one of the things that we're starting to look at now is that the drastic changes that occur during early childhood development for school-age children during the pandemic, that can be considered to be an adverse childhood experience where they no longer have access to some of those social supports or the safe space such as school. And so when we hear a 16-year-old saying to us, you know, that I'm not feeling myself, I'm feeling down, we have to really ask ourselves before we respond, you know, what are some things that this child could be experiencing or could have experienced that I have not seen, even if I was with this child? And then to reassure them that you assist them in finding the help and support that they need to help them feel better.
This is something, too, is not just on the parents, because the parents, well, now during the almost the end of the summer, you're around the kids 24/7, short of camp time, if there's any of that happening. But come the school year, this is a role that teachers have to play as well, because there's that period of time where the child is out of sight of the parents, but the teacher could see what's influenced the child, what's pressing on the child, everything from bullying to, you mentioned about the various unstable parts a child's family might have. Well, they might look at that child next to them in class, seeing everything working right for them. That just adds more weight to that child.
Absolutely. And you know, I like to say that the old saying, it still exists today, it takes a village to raise a child, you know, it takes a community. And so not just the teachers, camp counselors, neighbors, school bus drivers, we all as adults are responsible for our children and our community. And really paying attention to certain warning signs that we may see, you know, as a parent, are you noticing that your child's sleep patterns are changing? As a teacher or a coach or school bus driver, is a child that used to formerly be happy and joyful and talkative, have they become more isolated? Are they spending more time on their devices as opposed to being present in the moment? Are they struggling with engaging with their peers and other children? And for teachers, you know, are they struggling with paying attention in school? Are they tired when they come to school? These are different warning signs that us as adults need to start paying attention to, you know, things that we may have just said, oh, that child is just acting up, or they're just going through a rough time. We need to pay more attention to what could be causing that child to present their behaviors in that way, and make sure that we're bringing in those supports that can really reassure the child that they're not going through this alone, and that there are people and supports in the community here to help them through this season.
Talking with Dr. Adeola Shinaki, who is the Chief Operating Officer of the Baker Street Behavioral Health, on the web, bakerstreetsite.com, referencing information from the 2022 Kids Count Data Book, State Trends in Child Well-Being, from the Annie Casey Foundation. More about that at aecf.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. What you talk about, too, about being proactive for the teachers and the parents, and the several points in between and along with those two people in the child's life, to get ahead of the problem, almost like with a car. When your car starts to slide in the snow, you're behind. You have to catch up to keep something really bad from happening. That's the case in this situation, too. The faster you can get to the root of what's causing that change in that young boy or girl, the more likely, I'm assuming, you're able to prevent that child from falling into things like drug abuse or self-mutilation or things like that.
That's correct. Early intervention and detection is always the goal. Really identifying an issue as early as possible so that you can, number one, determine what the source is that's causing that trauma in that child's life and prevent it from occurring again, and also identify the treatment that will assist them with recovering and coping with whatever their home situation may have been. And I think it also comes down to having a general understanding and education about what mental health is, which we have seen a series of bills over the past few years being passed here in New Jersey that have really encouraged an increase of attention to be paid to mental health in the school setting. And I think that that's just one step in the right direction to making sure that we are identifying the problem earlier rather than later.
Everything you're pointing out here, that requires information, requires staffing, requires organizations. That all, like it or not, requires money and funding, recognition, support. How is this problem being addressed here in New Jersey? We've seen budgets passed recently. We see committee hearing after committee hearing, testimony after testimony. Are we seeing the necessary results from the financial and organizational support to deal with this situation?
I think that we're moving in the right direction. The fiscal year 2023 New Jersey state budget that was recently passed has allocated funding and resources dedicated to addressing mental health in the school setting. So we're seeing things such as threat assessment teams being developed in the school. We're seeing mental health education being incorporated into physical education. We're seeing schools being now required to have a school psychologist or counselor or mental health professional on campus to be able to address these needs. We're seeing schools investing in suicide prevention education and mental health first aid. And so with the allocation of funds from the current state budget to this area, I think that we are going to start to see much more proactive efforts happening in the school settings. You know, children spend the majority of their time in the schools, and so this is the best place to invest these resources. You know, I think the one thing that's going to be interesting for us to observe and watch over time is, once these funds have been allocated, do the schools have the resources and the capacity to implement evidence-based programs to bring in the experts? You know, I think that budgets look very different for each school, and so it will be interesting to see that, you know, was this allocation of resources equitable among the schools throughout our state.
It's a report that's full of very important information that I think will bring a greater awareness to you as a parent, as a participant in the well-being of a child, yours or that of someone else. It's the 2022 Kids Count Data Book, State Trends in Child Well-Being, and just doesn't address New Jersey. If you're listening on the stream in another state, you'll find information for your specific state as well. It's from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Their website is aecf.org. We have a direct link to the PDF download on our homepage. And to learn more about Baker Street Behavioral Health, Dr. Shinaki's organization, BakerStreetPsych.com. She is the Chief Operating Officer of Baker Street Behavioral Health. Dr. Adiela Shinaki, thank you so much for raising awareness on this issue, calling the people who need to step forward to indeed step forward. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.